Well, good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder, and this is BRN AM for Wednesday, November 18th, 2020. And our top stories today, COVID has changed the funeral landscape and the funeral industry, and some advanced planning tips. Joining me now to discuss this and more is Eliza Feller. She is Director of Advanced Planning for Saul Levinson & Brothers Funeral Home. Eliza, great to see you. Thanks for joining us again this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
It's great to see you, and thanks for coming back on the program. So a lot has transpired, and I really want to divide our show up into, in this first segment, what has changed with funerary services given the coronavirus pandemic? I'm sure that obviously it's been a difficult process, I'm sure, just changing business, but also going through the challenges brought forth by this pandemic.
Right. You know, it unfortunately depends upon which funeral home you're talking to as to what the changes have been. But for us, you know, just trying to make an early decision on how to protect the community and how to protect our own staff so that we can continue to help the community. And taking a business model that is not intended to be remote working to a remote working environment has been a huge change. And at the same time, we were dealing with obviously increasing rates of death because of COVID and having to find new ways to serve families and allow them to honor the lives of their loved ones while, again, still keeping everyone safe.
And so when I look online, I mean, I've attended funerals during the pandemic, and a lot of it is virtual. So you can now, you can't be in the same, well, let me ask this. You can't be in the sanctuary, I don't believe, but you can attend virtually, and the family will know that you're in attendance and being a part of the proceedings.
Right. So, you know, again, that varies funeral home to funeral home. We have not had services in our chapels inside the building since, I guess, March 16th or so. But we have managed to create an outdoor space where limited numbers of family members can be there. And then there's live streaming so that people can watch the service as it's going on. It's a big change. You know, funerals are designed for people to come together as a community, extended family, friends, and share some memories, you know, even in that casual interaction before the service starts. So not having that has been challenging and has pushed people to have to embrace that virtual world a little more.
And when it comes to the planning process, so let's just say someone passes away, how is that conducted? And, you know, I think this is important. I don't want to be morose, but I think this is important for people to understand that planning for a funeral is a process like any other process. And so you have to pick things like a coffin. You have to understand the logistics of how to get to the gravesite, where the gravesite is going to be. But what's that planning process like now under the new under the pandemic?
Yeah, so we have not been meeting with families, with a few rare exceptions. But at this point, with rates going back up, that's just not something that's happening in person. We do everything over the phone, occasionally by Zoom. It is definitely much more challenging. It's one of those times where you really see the difference between families who have advanced planning in place and have prearranged funerals versus families who haven't, because they have to go through that process. And a lot of times these families are separated. You know, it's one child in their house and another child in their house in a different place, whereas normally they would all come into the same room and be together and be able to support each other while making these decisions. So it certainly makes it more challenging. It draws the process out a little bit because since they're not together and they don't have that time to make decisions and talk through things in person, they have to say, I'll have to get back to you on a lot of things. And so instead of taking an hour, hour and a half to plan a funeral, they have to call back and forth all day. And it certainly makes things a lot more difficult for families.
And then in terms of the grieving process, part of the services that you do at the funeral home is you help people grieve. And there is a process. We talked about this almost 10 months ago before COVID, that there's a process that you go through to grieve. And oftentimes the funeral director, the funeral planning will involve that. What about grieving? Because grieving, if you are so, and I, you know, these are catastrophic events. These are really, and typically, you know, losing a loved one is never easy, but certainly under these situations, not easy, and can lead to other challenges. You know, you can have depression and other things that kind of creep up. What's the grieving process been like in terms of helping people heal?
Oh, gosh, it's, you know, it's so challenging. And early on, it was really hard. You know, families were just beginning to grapple with being quarantined and not being able to be with their loved one as they were ill or dying. And there was a lot of a sense of obviously grief about not being there for that process, much less the person passing. And then saying, well, you can only have this number of people in attendance at the service. And feeling like somehow that had been almost that a person's death, they felt kind of had no meaning. And that was just, as a funeral director, you know, we heard that over and over again. And it's just, it's traumatic for us as well. And we really had to push families to think about ways that they could still make that kind of minimal service really mean something to honor the life of their loved one. It is hard. You know, we have to work harder to create those relationships since we're just on the phone or over Zoom and really be a resource to families. But you're talking about people, you know, I think you mentioned, you know, depression. I think we're all a little, you know, that baseline of depression with everything that's going on right now. We're all there already, and the strain and the stress of that situation. And you add someone's death to that, you add not being able to be physically comforted by friends and family, not having that ongoing sense of community, people coming over to visit, going out for dinner with somebody. And it's just, there's layer upon layer upon layer of ways that this whole situation is much more difficult than it would be. And finding new ways to help with that process it's an ongoing challenge.
Yeah. And I just think about, you know, pre-COVID, you have almost like, you know, you get together after the service and you kind of break bread, have a meal. You really can't do that in today's environment without spreading the virus. And so that is part of that healing process, knowing that you have family and friends around you. There's certainly a lot that people need to be thinking about. Eliza, I want to go to a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you can do to advance plan, because I think we've learned some lessons here, and Eliza's going to share some with us when we come back. So stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here, and if you're on Medicare, this is important. You're now entitled to eliminate copays and get dental care, dentures, eyeglasses, prescription coverage, in-home aids, unlimited transportation, and home-delivered meals, all at no additional cost. Plus, your zip code may have coverage with the Give Back benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. Look, with the uncertainty of the virus and vaccines, you need to get everything you're entitled to. Here's the bottom line. Call to get significant benefits at no additional cost and see if your zip code has coverage with the Give Back benefit. Millions of people have trusted the Medicare Coverage Helpline. You can too. Call now. It's free.
Call 1-800-924-3920. That's 1-800-924-3920.
Welcome back. We're talking to Eliza Fowler. She's Director of Advanced Planning for Saul Levinson Brothers Funeral Home. Eliza, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Of course. It's an important topic.
Absolutely. And I have, you know, we went through some of the big changes, and you kind of alluded to this, and we talked about this in the past, the importance of advanced planning. And look, none of us, we all recognize that we have a finite amount of time on this planet, and then we go, you know, we're going to pass on. But there are really some lessons that can be taken away from all this, and I wanted to come to you. What should we be thinking about as family members, as parents, as children of family members?
The interesting thing about this pandemic is there are a lot of people who've reached out to us saying they've been meaning to talk to us. They've been meaning to get information about funerals and just have things set out ahead of time. And this has really brought the importance of that to the forefront and made them realize that this is the time to make these plans. And the reason for that is it's just, you know, we've talked about it before, that if these plans are in place, even if they're not set in stone, at least it's a framework for your family so they don't have to go through all these decisions at the time. They don't have to try to scramble to find someone's social security number. They don't have to look at caskets and decide what casket to put their loved one in. So, you know, just important at any time, but right now it's really on people's minds.
And we also talked about some of the documentation. I mean, you mentioned it, the casket, what social security numbers. There are things legally that you have to do as a funeral service, a funerary service, a mortician, things like that, that you have to keep track of. People should really have a will, possibly an estate plan. And I would think a folder or someplace where their financial information or personal information is available.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things that people shouldn't have to scramble to find at the time. You know, if someone passes away and you're trying to work out travel plans and all sorts of details and having to go search for someone's mother's maiden name or their social security number is something that a funeral home can have on file or something that they can have on file at home. You know, we've spoken before about wills and people say, well, I'm going to put my intentions in my will. It's important for people to remember a will is not going to be read most likely until after the funeral. So making sure those funeral plans are available ahead of time, but also that other documentation you spoke about, you know, we have a resource for families to gather all sorts of information about where their various bank accounts are, what property they own, credit cards, stocks, things like that, that your family won't have to then go searching through your entire house because, you know, they usually have to close out empty out a house or a condo or even a nursing home room, you know, quickly. And they don't want to have to go through also all the paperwork just to figure out where, you know, all that financial property may be.
And let's be clear. I mean, you know, death is not for just the elderly. People unfortunately pass away, not just because of COVID, but they can, you know, I'm 48. People die at age 48. They die. And what is the general rule of thumb in terms of planning? I mean, you don't want to be a 22-year-old and thinking about, you know, what's going to happen to you. But is it? But when you get married, is it when you begin to have children? When you have, is it a little bit later in life? You know, into your 40s. Any rules of thumb there that you can think of?
It's a challenging conversation at any age, but really as soon as possible. You know, marriage, that's an important time to figure out, you know, to have that conversation about what your intentions are after you pass. If you're choosing cemetery plots, where do you want those to be? That's a tough age to make that decision. We're also mobile these days. But certainly you don't want a spouse to be in the position, God forbid something happens at a young age, to have to make all those decisions kind of on the fly. And sometimes people make decisions that afterward they say, you know what, if I had had time to think about it, that's not what I would have done. I'm not that old, I like to say, but I have my plans in place. And, you know, my husband and I, it took us several conversations about cemetery plots and our intentions, but we had to, you know, I knew more than a lot of other people in this world, unfortunately, that I've seen those situations occur and someone, you know, either something just very sudden and tragic happens or someone gets ill at a younger age. And I see a spouse have to decide where they want to pick cemetery plots. And they have to go out to the cemetery and look at the ground and say, you know, I want my partner to be buried by that tree. And it just, it's kind of heartbreaking to watch, for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah. It's just part of the natural process. And I think a lot of people probably don't do it because it is a painful conversation. Mm-hmm. Eliza, I guess last question for the segment, and that's around pre-planning. Are you seeing more families? We talked about this before. You can actually pre-plan for a funeral and make payments over a period of time. Funerals are not inexpensive. I mean, there's a cost to, having a plot and all these things. Are you seeing people, purchase pre-planning of services and whatnot?
Yes, actually more than usual. And it was something that the industry as a whole wasn't sure what was going to happen with the pandemic. And certainly finances are difficult for a lot of people right now. But we're actually finding more people who want to at least begin to pay, even a small portion, to start to set aside funds so that their family will owe less at the time. But a lot more people are calling us to make arrangements. And of those people who reach out to us, more than usual, are starting to prepay.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's just part of the process. And there's financial planning, mm-hmm. and there's planning when you're going to leave the planet. And so those are things that you really need to think about. Well, Eliza, we're going to leave it there. Really interesting discussion. Really appreciate you taking some time to speak with us. And we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest or someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement, markets, technology, personal finance, so much more, check out our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Are you being audited? And do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a tax doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.